Hello, Calvary Baptist Church family and friends. It is Pastor Brian, and I am excited to continue this series on our Calvary Baptist vision. And by way of reminder, our mission as a church is to glorify God by loving God and loving our neighbors. So we glorify God by fulfilling the two greatest commandments. And our vision is to gather together to glory in Christ, to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ, and to go on mission to evangelize the unsaved, the lost, for Christ. Last week, we looked at the going body in Matthew chapter 28. This week and next, we're going to look at the growing body. And then in a few weeks from now, we will look at the gathered body. So that's a little snapshot of where we were, where we're headed this day. And I wanted to open up this time with you, looking at 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 Peter 5 for our call to worship, beginning at verse 6. 1 Peter 5, beginning at verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, some of you may have heard at this point, some of you may not have heard, but our brother in Christ, Dick Schooley, died here yesterday, Saturday morning, and ongoing prayers for Pat, his son Bill, are greatly appreciated, and please know that we are praying for all of you as well, how much we miss gathering together, though excited to be doing so here very, very soon with you. And just continue to pray, as we were pointed out here in 1 Peter, that we would cast any anxieties, any worry, any fears that might be coming from this COVID-19 upon the Lord, that we might look to him and trust in him during this time, and to also not allow the devil to get that foothold. To allow that devil to get into our, and to try to staunt our growth in Christ's likeness. And so that's what we're going to look here at in a moment. But before we do so, let's open up now with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we are grateful for the scriptures, your word that you've given to us, that comforts us, times of loss, times of sorrow, that strengthens us in our walk with you, in our process of becoming more and more like our Savior Jesus, that humbles us, reminding us that we are not in the position that we are in, beloved children of God, through work and merit of our own, but solely through the work and merit of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we're grateful that when our hope is set firmly upon Christ, it changes the entire course of our life here and life to come. And Father, we are grateful for the life of our brother Dick Schooley, who had a passion for evangelism, Lord, to share and to tell others about Christ, to plant seeds, he would always say, plant seeds, plant seeds. And Father, we will greatly miss him. We pray for Pat and Bill, his wife and son, Lord, especially, and the rest of the family too, Lord God, and Sister Mary. And we pray, Father, that you will be a comfort unto them in their time of loss, that we as a church body might love them in this time as well. Father, we desire to live lives that would be growing in our walk with you, because the alternative is not good. So, Father, as we find ourselves in some difficult times, Lord, because growing as a body means that we're growing as a body, and that's been rather difficult in these last couple of months. Yet, Lord, we are thankful again for your word. And by it, we can grow. We must strive to grow. We must be disciplined. So, for Father, we desire to glorify and honor you. These things we pray in Christ's name. Amen. We'll turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 97. Psalm 119, verse 97. The verse connected to our grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that part of our vision comes from 2 Peter chapter 3. And so we'll look more at that next time. But let's as we come to this discussion on the growing body and this discussion on the spiritual growth, we're going to explore it through various questions. What is meant by a growing body? What are motivators that we have? What motivators has God given us that we would grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ, that we would grow and mature in the faith? And then also, who is my growth dependent upon? So those are kind of three questions that we'll explore together here this morning. Psalm 119, verse 97, these are the words of God. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Amen. This week, like I said, I want to explore what is meant by spiritual growth. Now, when you just talk about growth in general in the context of the church, not specifically spiritual growth, then there are obviously one of two things that could typically come to mind. We could be referring to the physical growth in the church, or we could be referring to the spiritual growth of its members. Now, last week we looked at being disciple makers, and this certainly connects to physical growth to a degree, about our calling to go, right, and make disciples. This calling, this command of ours to make disciples by going, baptizing, and teaching them. And through that, we ought to see growth in God's kingdom. And our mission field as Calvary Baptist Church of Lake City is Lake City and its surrounding area. Right? We must be faithful to make known to sinners that because of their sinful and rebellious hearts, they are separated from the holy God who created them. And it's only by the free gift of his grace and faith in Jesus Christ alone that they can be saved from their sins and adopted into God's family. Even as we think about physical growth, we should remember that larger doesn't necessarily mean better and more faithful. But smaller also doesn't necessarily mean better and more faithful either. Right? The physical count of a body is enough to determine if that body of believers is healthy or not. When we refer to that, the health of the body, right? We're referring to that spiritual health, that spiritual growth of a body. There are faithful large churches and unfaithful small ones. Just as there are unfaithful large churches and faithful small ones. Right, so our calling As we saw again last week, the growing body, to go and make disciples, baptizing and teaching them to observe all that Christ has commanded. Well, certainly that's one of the ways, by going and making disciples, that we ourselves grow spiritually. That we be faithful to this call and faithful to this command from our Lord. But as it's laid out in our vision, as we think about growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, right, that idea of growth there, again, is more connected to spiritual growth, Christian growth. And that's where I brought us into Psalm 119 this morning, or this time that you're listening. In Psalm 119, listen to several verses. Again, verse 97, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." Jump down to verse 99. "I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation." Then 100 and 101, they give this emphasis on keeping God's law. So 97, 99 pointed to this meditation, God's law, God's testimonies. They're my meditation, the psalmist says. Meditation isn't crossing your legs and humming. That's not meditation. Meditation, according to Scripture, is to chew on and to think on and constantly put your mind to the Scriptures and how you can apply them to your life. So you're meditating and you're chewing it over in your mind because you're trying to determine, how is it that I can apply God's Word to my life? And that's what verses 100 and 101 point to, right? "I understand more than the aged, more than the elders, for I keep your precepts. I keep your word. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word." So as we think about Christian growth, spiritual growth, what is meant by that? One of the things that we have to see from here in Psalm 119 is that it's not just something that happens naturally. It's not just those who are old are mature in the faith, those who are young are not mature in the faith. Now, there is oftentimes a connection there, certainly, but that's not an automatic when it comes to our spiritual growth. Right? The mature, right? What is Christian growth? Those who are mature, those who are becoming more holy, those who are becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. Those are the ones who are keeping God's word, right? Obeying his commands. I mean, Jesus said in John 14, 15, "If you love me, you will obey what I command." So deepening our love for God, the greatest commandment, comes through obedience to his commands. In 1 Peter chapter 2, we read these words, "Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation." Now, have you ever heard someone say, "God loves me just the way I am"? Or maybe have you ever echoed this sentiment yourself? "God loves me just the way I am." Recently, I heard Sinclair Ferguson, a pastor teacher, share that God takes you as you are in order to make you what he wants you to be. He takes you as you are. Right, in many respects, if we were to reflect on our state before Christ, which is an okay thing to do, Paul calls us to do that at times in Ephesians 2, God loved us despite the way that we were. Is that not what Romans 5:8 tells us? But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So the thought of just God loves me just the way I am, well, God means to change you. Yes, he loved you in the sinful, rebellious state that we were in when he saved us from our sins. And now he is going to complete a good work in us. He's going to carry it on to completion. And guess what? That isn't going to leave you just the way that you are. He means to change you. He means to make you more and more like his son, Jesus. Right? That's Christian growth. That's rightly understanding this process of becoming more and more like Jesus. Right? Sanctification, in many contexts, it refers to that very thing. You and I are justified. That is, we are in a right standing before God by faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. That was by far one of the loud declarations that came during the Protestant Reformation in the 16th century. Justification by faith alone. But what was also understood then and cannot be forgotten now is that while we are justified by faith alone, that faith is not alone. And Paul speaks of this in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2, further down in verses 8 through 10. For by grace, familiar words, you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Right? By walking in the good works that God has prepared for us beforehand, from before the foundation of the world, he is glorified. And we grow by walking in these good works. We grow in becoming more like Jesus Christ, the one whom we are united to, right? Created in Christ Jesus. We are united to Christ by faith. Right? This is the idea of growing in holiness. God says in Leviticus, and Peter repeats it, 1 Peter 1:16, God says there too, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Maybe that rattles something in your mind. You might think, well, wait, why are believers called saints in the New Testament, meaning holy ones? Greek word hagias, translated oftentimes saints, but means holy ones. Why are believers called that if we are to become holy? This is where we would see theologians distinguishing between a positional holiness and practical holiness. Explain it simply this way. We are positionally holy, right standing before God. Right? God doesn't see us any longer as enemies and rebels, but as dearly loved children because we are united to Christ by faith. We are positionally holy. And we are, though, united to Christ by faith in order to become more like Christ. This is the practical holiness. Listen again to 1 Peter 2:2. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. Hear that? Grow up. We are to mature in the Christian faith. We're to grow up. That doesn't just happen. It's not a let go, let God type of idea here. Nor is it optional. Well, God loves me just the way I am. I don't have to grow. No. He is molding us. He is forming us. He is shaping us. He is transforming us more and more to the image of his beloved Son. With the pure spiritual milk that we are to be feasting on and that will cause us to grow up, that will cause us to mature, is what? The Word of God. And the word is emphasized heavily in that Psalm 119, so it seemed an appropriate place to go as we think about the growing body. Right? A baby is best nourished by his or her mother's milk. The Christian is best nourished by the pure spiritual milk of the word. It is pure. It is right. It is true. The counsel that many are receiving today is coming from lots of wrong places. Maybe even specifically today, especially, is coming from the 24/7 news cycles. Just keep watching it. But is this the counsel that is to be highly prized by us? Is this the counsel that is highly prized in Scripture? Right, Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. Now, this describes the vast majority of what you find on TV today, between news outlets, daytime or nighttime talk shows, and the TV dramas. It is the counsel of the wicked, sinners, and scoffers. And Christians will spend hours on end taking it all in. And what are you doing? You're stunting your own growth. For the blessed man, His counsel, his delight, as Psalm 1 continues in verse 2, is in the law of the Lord, in the law of Yahweh. And on his law he meditates day and night. There's that word, meditates again. Where then are you and I to find our counsel? Well, in the Word of God, in the pure spiritual milk of the Word. Maybe one of the reasons you haven't grown much in your Christian walk, right, not becoming more like Christ, is because you are taking your counsel from all the wrong places. What you are feasting on is the dead, dark, and disgusting counsel of the wicked sinners and scoffers, rather than the pure spiritual milk of the Word. 5 minutes in God's Word, 5 hours with this other crap. And then you wonder why I'm not growing in my walk. We've got to get our counsel from God's Word. It is the pure spiritual milk. It's what we need to be nourished, just like a baby needs its mother's milk. What motivators do we have to pursue maturity? Right? To pursue this Christ-likeness, this holiness. Practical holiness. Well, it's important that we realize by motivators, what I mean to say is that God, let this be an encouragement to you, God has not saved us by his grace to then throw us back to our own resources in order to grow. All right, I saved you, now it's all up to you. Right? No, that God has given us motivators to grow. And that's great because we could never do this on our own. Right? But God has given us his Holy Spirit. Right? There's the first one. Jesus says in John 14, verses 15 to 17, reference 15 earlier, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Right? We are given another helper. Some of your translations might say another counselor. Right? And Jesus is the wonderful counselor, as the prophet Isaiah says. Right, we're to walk by the Spirit to not gratify the desires of the flesh. We are to keep in step with the Spirit so that he will be guiding us to bear the fruit of the Spirit. Right, love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That we would bear this fruit of the Spirit in increasing measures in our lives. Right? It is, in fact, by the work of the Holy Spirit that we receive any of the benefits of what Christ has done 2,000 years ago and 6,000 miles away. And the Holy Spirit isn't through with us. After he applies the work of redemption, the benefits of Christ to our lives, at that moment that we believe, for then, as Jesus says, he dwells in the believer. He is with us. Now. Well, next, as we consider motivators for spiritual growth, it is important we remember that we live under the reign of grace. Turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 20. See what I mean. Romans 5, verse 20. Picking it up there. We'll read through chapter 6, verse 2. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Right, our position has completely changed. We once lived under the reign of sin and death, but now we have died to sin. We live under the reign of grace. It's right when we talk about the process of sanctification that we are referring to it as a process. It is a growth in becoming more and more like Christ. Right? It's similar to a marathon. Right? If you think you're going to get to the finish line in a marathon quickly and easily, I've got some news for you. If you think you're going to get to the finish line of a 5K quickly and easy, I've got news for you. But especially a marathon, right? It's like the song Amazing Grace. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. Through many, many, not one or two, right? Many dangers, toils, and snares. Right? This is the path toward maturity. It's a process, growth. God uses our sufferings and our difficulties to cause us to grow. But that's as it relates right to our sanctification, to us becoming more like Christ. But as we're talking about being under either the reign of sin or the reign of grace, this isn't a process. Everybody in the world is right now either living under the reign of sin or under the reign of grace. And here's why it's a motivator. For the believer in Jesus Christ right now is no longer under the reign of sin, but now is under the reign of grace. This is a present condition for us. And Paul says it this way in Colossians 1:13. He, referring to God the Father, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. We belong to a new kingdom. And with this new kingdom, we are under a new reign and rule. And that is the reign and rule of grace. Thanks be to God. So when we sin, it's actually more grievous than it was before, because we are not under the reign of sin any longer, but we sin as those living in a new kingdom, living under the reign of grace. Now, some, Paul surmised, would think that if grace increases where sin increases, then we ought to sin more, that grace may abound more. That's the argument there at the beginning of Romans chapter 6. But Paul calls out the folly of this. How can we who died to sin still live in it? You've died to the reign of sin. You can't live in it anymore. You've died to it. It's no longer your master. Right? To understand this is the step for many of you to stand firm in your struggles, to remain faithful when tempted. The Christian's no longer under the penalty or the power of sin. Yes, sin is still present, and thus the need to grow in holiness, to put to death what is earthly in us, and to put on and clothe ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, to become more and more like him. Other term, analogy that Paul uses in Colossians 3 and Ephesians chapter 4. Right, this takes discipline and hard work, but something that can be accomplished. Why? The motivators, right? The working of the Holy Spirit and us remembering that we are no longer under the reign of sin, but we are now living under the reign of grace. The last motivator that I'll point out now is that Christ is the vine and we are the branches, and apart from him, you and I can do nothing. You say, well, wait a minute, that sounds like, what kind of motivation is that? But no, our motivation comes from the reality that we are united to Jesus by faith. He calls us to bear much fruit. And he says, it can only be done as you stay attached to me, the vine. The mature Christian bears more and more fruit for God's glory. One of my favorite verse in this section here in John 15 is verse 8, where Jesus points out, after pointing out that apart from me, you can do nothing, right? And if you don't bear fruit, cut off and thrown into the fire. And so he points out, by this my Father is glorified. This is verse 8 of John 15. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. How do I bear much fruit? Okay, staying connected to the vine. That's how I mature. That's how I grow. Bearing much fruit comes as we are deeply nourishing ourselves in the pure spiritual milk of the Word of God. And not just feasting on it, right? But putting it into practice, right? Maturity isn't just attained by age. There are a lot of spiritual babies in churches today, though they are older men and women physically. That's why it makes me grateful that there are also those many older men and women who are mature in the faith, but who also still understand their need to grow and to mature. That's what Psalm 119 was telling us. Right, Psalm 119. Oh, I love your law, it's my meditation all the day. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. More understanding than my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. This is to be some cocky arrogance, but humble, right? Humility. Just the reality that taking the word of God and putting it into practice in my life. That's how we're going to mature. And we're going to explore that more and more next week when we talk about ways in which we are to grow. We've touched upon them somewhat here. It's kind of more the introductory of the growing body. We'll explore that again more in depth next week. So with these motivators in mind, Holy Spirit, we live under the reign of grace. Holy Spirit indwells us. We live under the reign of grace. Apart from Christ, we can't do anything. We can do nothing. Right? With those motivators in mind, who is your spiritual growth dependent on? Turn to 2 Peter. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. Read these words, verses 3 and 4. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Wait, what was it, those verses, that has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness? His divine power, right? More specifically, Jesus' divine power has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Peter David's commentator helps us understand what this means. There is no excuse, he says, for not living a godly life. For believers have already received everything that is necessary to do so. And that points right back to our motivators. Well, who's my growth dependent upon? God, his divine power. And while it is his divine power at work, we are told in the very next verse here in 2 Peter 1, verse 5, look at it, to make every effort, right? For this very reason, that it's his divine power that's granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness. This very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. Make every effort. Right? This isn't some cliche, God helps those who help themselves. Words sometimes attributed to the pages of scripture, but are in fact the words of Benjamin Franklin. And as history seems to indicate, Ben was a theist, not a Christian. Making every effort tells us a couple things. First, this is something worth pursuing. Make every effort, and it is of utmost importance. Make every effort. It's worth pursuing. It is of utmost importance for us as believers. And secondly, the thought process of let go, let God is also not what our author has in mind here, is it? That's not what Peter says. Yes, we must surrender our lives to God. We are dependent on him and his divine power for our growth, but we also must be making every effort. That's what Peter says. Knowing and applying the scriptures to our lives, loving God, loving the brethren. Right? For the one, living a life in obedience to Christ who has saved us is the one who is maturing in the faith. Right? James would say it this way, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. But then don't think that because we're to make every effort, we're to work hard and be doers of the word, we get some of the glory and the credit for our growth in Christ likeness. Why? Well, his divine power has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness. The motivators he's given us, it's his spirit he's poured into our hearts. It's him who has transferred us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved son, that we are now under the reign of grace. It is only as we branches remain connected to the vine, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can bear much fruit and so prove to be his disciples. God receives the glory for saving us. God receives the glory for growing us, not ourselves. So as we look and consider the importance of the growing body, spiritual growth, we must be men and women of the word, longing for that pure spiritual milk, that by it we may grow up. Grow up into salvation. Long for it. Pray to God to help you long more for that than for the counsel that is present of the wicked and the sinners and the scoffers all around us. That we would desire the counsel of the Lord, his word, more than anything else. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you've shown to us where we can receive wise counsel. That you, by your divine power, Jesus, have given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. But we don't find those things somewhere out there, but we find them right in the text of Scripture. So, Father, help Calvary Baptists to be a body of believers who are men and women of the Word. Father, help us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to grow in becoming more and more like him, whom our soul loves, the one who has saved us. Rescued us. And the one who even now intercedes for us. Father, we love you. Thank you for your great love for us. Thank you for a body of believers that with one another we can help and encourage each other in our growth into Christ-likeness. Pray all these things in Jesus' name.